Amen. Well, good morning. I want to start today just by diving right into the Word, actually. we're going to be in Psalm 13. It'll be on the screen if you want to turn there. It'll be Psalm 13. We're going to be doing verses 1 through 6. Here's what it says. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart day after day? How long will my enemy exalt himself and triumph over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light and life to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. I'm going to stop there. We'll get into the rest in a little bit. Has anyone ever felt that way before in their life? Has anyone ever cried out to God in moments of depression, doubt, worry, feelings of being overwhelmed, feeling forgotten? It's a powerful thing. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about how fear wants to control us and how doubt wants to control us and how worry wants to control us and not trusting wants to control us. Today, I want to dive into depression's desire to control us. And that's what it wants to do. In research done in 2009, in a book called The Quick Reference Guide to Biblical Counseling, it said that 35 million Americans, more than 16% of the population, suffer from depression severe enough to warrant treatment at some point in their lives. In one given period, 13 to 14 million people experienced the disorder. That was 2009. In the recent years, I know that number has gone up. And just every year, it's gone up. Depression. It's characterized by excessively negative views of yourself, of the world, and of the future. And people with depression also have difficulty experiencing pleasure or reward in ways that they normally would. This thing is very real. It's present among us, and that's the same is true for those of us who call ourselves Jesus followers. I don't know if you've been in church for a long time. I don't know if you've been in many different churches or, you know, been counseled or coached or mentored by many people. But one of the cultural lies that I've heard within the church is that true Jesus followers would never experience depression. And it's such a lie. And it'll be followed up with, why are you sinning? Stop and just get over it. Give it to God and move past it. And that's a cultural lie. It's not even a cultural lie out in the world. It's just within the church. Here's the gospel truth. Many heroes of our faith dealt with moments of depression. Many heroes of our faith, not just moments, but prolonged seasons of depression. Elijah, we talked about Elijah at the very beginning. Going from victory to the very, you know, next thing we see is he's depressed. He is downcast. He is sorrowful. It's the same thing that David is saying here in Psalm 13. Jeremiah, a prophet, he's told to go and pronounce judgment, and he was alone, ridiculed. Jacob, at the loss of his son. Jonah dealt with depression on a different level, but he dealt with it. Paul. The Apostle Paul, and there are many others. I mean, you go through and you start doing character studies, and you'll quickly see that many heroes of faith dealt with depression. But the most important is Jesus. Jesus dealt with it very, very plainly in the Garden of Gethsemane. I want to read to you from Matthew 26. Verse 37, taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, My soul is swallowed up in sorrow to the point of death. And he says, remain here and stay awake with me and pray with me. Jesus comes to this point where he almost gives us the definition of our soul is swallowed up with sorrow to the point of death. Hopelessness and despair and all these things. What's interesting right here is that Jesus is actually quoting from Psalm 42, where we get a psalm from King David. And this entire psalm is about depression. Let me read some of it to you, not all of it. If you want to read it all, it's Psalm 42. It'll be 1 verses all the way through 11. I'm just going to share a little bit. Verse 3 says, my tears have been my food day and night. While all day long people say to me, where is your God? Verse 5 says, why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Verse 6 says, I am deeply depressed. Verse 9 says, I will say to my God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? There's another time when our Savior says that, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? Verse 11, why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Jesus experienced it. This is probably the most amazing thing that God could ever do, is he sent his son down to live in human form to experience and go through everything that you and I go through, but to be an overcomer of everything that we go through. He is not a God who just sits up there and has us go through these things. He's a God who sent his son to go through them with us and to show us how to overcome them. And so Jesus dealt with it, and he overcame it. And so today I want to say, if anyone has ever told you to get over your depression and to stop sinning, I'm here to rebuke that and just encourage you today and hopefully help you get out from underneath its control. Because we will deal with it. It's one thing to deal with it. It's another thing to let it control us. And so I want to help you work through all of that. Now, among the many heroes of faith that dealt with depression, King David is one that we know dealt with it. And he wrote a lot about how he dealt with it. I just read to you from Psalm 42 and the depression that he had. But he dealt on it in so many different occasions and so many different levels. And I'm thankful that he openly and vulnerably shared his feelings, his heart, his hurt, his pain, his forgottenness in the Word. King David, just many trials, many troubles. You think, and you can go through his life a little bit. I mean, the first one, King Saul, this man that he honored and looked up to, tried to take his life multiple times. Tried to kill him. David was anointed king, but waited years to actually become king because the current king was trying to kill him. In the midst of it, his best friend, Jonathan, is the king's son. So he has this best friend, but if the king is trying to kill you and he's the son is the best friend, it's kind of hard to hang out with him, right? So I want to hang out, Jonathan, but, you know, send me a letter. So he doesn't have that friendship that he holds so dearly. And then he loses Jonathan. Jonathan dies, and he's not there to be with him. You fast forward, and David's king, and he enters into this phase of life where he commits some sin, and it leads to hurt and heartache, where he has an adulterous relationship, leads to them and him murdering the husband, and then losing a baby. And it sets in, and it's there. And then you get into the mess that is his family and his children and the things that they do to one another, and they plot against one another, and they rape one another, and they murder one another, and one of them tries to seize his throne. And you begin to look at David's life, and you begin to read the psalm, and you understand what David's going through, because you got to experience what he dealt with. There's so many reasons there for him to experience depression and have long seasons of it. You just read through the Psalms and you'll begin to understand the depth of it and the burden and the weight of his depression. But here's the thing I love most about David. He poured out his soul to God, and he cried out to God, and he shared all that he was going through, but he always brought it back to who God was. I didn't share some of them, but in 42, he says, I'm deeply depressed, but I will remember that you, Lord. And he says, I put my hope in God, and I will praise him, my Savior and God. And then in Psalm 13, I shared what he was going through, but I didn't share the very end. So I want to unpack that. I want to unpack what he was dealing with really quickly and how we can connect to it, and then what he followed it up with. So let's look at Psalm 13 again. Verse 1. He says, how long, O Lord? How long will I have to go through this? How long will you turn your face from me? How long will you forget me? Anyone ever gone and cried out to God and say, how long am I going to have to go through what I'm currently going through? Where are you, God? You know, in this moment, what David's feeling is he's feeling forgotten. So we have that feeling of being forgotten. Verse 2. How long must I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart day after day? How long will my enemy exalt himself and triumph over me? And what we see in this moment is that there's this immense feeling of overwhelmed, right? He feels so overwhelmed. There are internal things that are happening that are causing him to be overwhelmed. We read about his life and we know that there are external forces that are coming at him, and he is just, he's overwhelmed. How long must I take counsel in my own soul? Sorrow day and night. Feeling forgotten. Feeling overwhelmed. Verse 3. Consider me and answer me, O Lord my God. Give me light and life to my eyes. Or, God, if you don't show up, I will sleep the sleep of death. He is feeling so overwhelmed and so forgotten. Do you know what he's feeling now? Is hopelessness. There is no hope. God, if you don't show up, there is no hope. So he's got feeling forgotten, feeling overwhelmed, feeling hopeless. In verse 4, my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. So on top of feeling overwhelmed, on top of feeling forgotten, on top of feeling hopeless, he also feels defeated. If you've ever experienced just one of those things, you can understand how quickly and how easily they can spiral down into depression, and you can just stay there. And so David's sharing and he's pouring out and he's saying, I am feeling forgotten. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I am feeling defeated. I am feeling hopeless. But then he comes in with verse 5. But, you ready? I have trusted and relied on and been confident in your loving kindness and faithfulness, so my heart will rejoice and delight in your salvation, and I will sing to the Lord. So he says, this is what I'm feeling, God. This is what's going on. And I know in order to combat what I'm feeling, I gotta remember and embrace your goodness and your faithfulness in your salvation. And it's such a powerful thing for us that we need to hold on to in our lives as well when we go through similar things. And so when we're controlled by feelings of hopelessness, guess what that brings? When that's the controlling factor, it brings depression. But when we are confident in God's goodness, guess what that brings? It brings delight. Delight in the Lord. Delight in who he is. Now, here's what we know. Those feelings, they may not completely subside, but when we take those things and we remember God and we rejoice over God's goodness, when we focus on him, it relinquishes depression's control over our life. It turns our sorrow and despair into peace and praise. And we've got to continually do that over our situation, over feeling forgotten, over feeling overwhelmed, over feeling hopeless, we continually just bring it to Him. When our depressive feelings of hopelessness attempt to control us, we must remember God's goodness, God's hopefulness. You know, I've heard it said that depression can kind of be like this this dark cloud that shows up. It kind of just looms and it follows you around and won't leave you alone. There are reasons that the dark cloud can show up, and other times you can't seem to pinpoint the reason. And that's the thing with depression. It's triggered in many ways, and it's brought on for many reasons. And it could be genetics, to dietary, to exercise, to trauma, to spiritual attacks, to relational stress, financial burdens, sinful habits, sleeplessness, and on and on and on and on. Depression and this dark cloud that shows up. Up until about 3 years ago, I'd never really dealt with depression, or at least I didn't know I had already dealt with depression. Because I look back now and I say, okay, I have, but I didn't connect the dots. But I had a dark cloud that was over my life in 2020. And y'all remember 2020. We like to try to forget 2020, but y'all remember, right? Dark cloud. I remember many nights where I would go home, I would go up to my room, and I would just lay in bed. Sometimes I would sleep, sometimes I wouldn't. Just stuck in my thoughts, stuck in my head. Uncertainty and fear of the future. Questioning all the things I've done up to this moment and what's next. And there's so many decisions that I need to make moving forward. And these decisions they're overwhelming. They're big decisions. They're decisions that don't just affect me, but they affect my family. And not just my family, but my church family and God's kingdom. And I remember just having those things just swirl and swirl and getting, and they grow and they grow and they grow, and I just get lost in them. And at the time, like I couldn't pinpoint the problem. I was like, I don't know what I'm feeling. I don't know what's going on. And if I can't find the problem, then I don't know how to fix it. And guess what? There was hopelessness there. I didn't know a way out. I was just stuck. And I understand now, and I sympathize now and empathize now where I couldn't before. And so while I did not enjoy that season of my life, I'm thankful because of what it's shown me and how it's been able to help me minister and care for others who go through that. But it's hard. And if you just keep letting those thoughts swirl and you get lost in that, and it's debilitating. And it grows and it grows and it grows. And thankfully, I was able to get out of it. But I still have moments now where I'm able to now recognize depression trying to creep in. Moments where I just feel stuck, you know? Like I know something needs to change, but I can't make the decision to change because there are too many factors. Who will I let down? Will I look like a failure? Will I be able to provide? Going back to the control, if I don't do this, it won't, you know, and I get stuck in that. And if I don't move out of it, like it just changes. Like this dark cloud shows up and it changes my just who I am and how I react and how I respond. And that's what it does. And I share all that to say, like, if we don't remember and remind ourselves of God's goodness, that cloud will begin to grow and grow and grow, and it'll begin to take control of our heart and mind. And really what it's trying to do is it's trying to get our focus, remember what we talked about, our focus of our heart and mind being on God, just on it. And as we just focus on it, it grows into this thing that we feel like we can't get out of. So going back to, if you weren't here last week, I talked through our logo and what it means, and that these arrows represent our heart and mind, and we want to focus them on Jesus, and that's going to give us this peace that surpasses all understanding to guard our heart and mind. And so we talked about that. And so you know, we're going through life, and you know, we're doing our very best every day to focus on Him. And there's all these things and worry and fear and doubt and circumstances. But you know what, we're going. But then something shows up in our lives. It could be anything. It could be financial stress. It could be relationship. It could be loss. It could be job transition, moving, whatever. And this thing shows up in our lives, and it begins to grab the focus of our mind. And we continually think about it and worry about it and wonder about it, and there's fear in it, and we get stuck in it, and we're not sure what's going to happen. And so as our mind is focused on this issue that's happening, guess what takes place? It kind of comes up here, and it says, hey, are you understanding what's going on? I need you to come down here. And it brings our feelings and our emotions and tries to get it focused here. And so our mind begins to turn our heart. And so the heart then takes its focus off of Jesus. And then it focuses on the issue. Now the peace is still there, but we're too busy focusing right here. And then, of course, as we focus here, this continues to happen now, right? This goes and this goes, and we kind of get into this circular motion where this thing is getting out of control. And then the biggest thing, and let me erase some of this. What takes place is that little thing that started here, that is now grown, not only is our heart and mind just focused on it, it's begun to just envelop. So it is everything that we're focused on. It is consuming, it is debilitating, and the biggest thing here, so like I said, the peace is here, because Jesus came and he said in John 14, 27, he says, I peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. So we have his peace, and his peace is still there, but we are so focused on the problem that we're blocking it out. And this is where you start to get into this dark cloud. So what started as a small problem, as this begins to envelop our heart and mind, then it just grows, and it 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 grows this way. And it just keeps going, and it comes to be this dark cloud. And within this, what we're saying, this is so important, because we know that Jesus wants the peace, and the peace is still there. But you know what this dark cloud has begun to do? It begins to say, you know what? That peace that you want, that light that you want, it's gone. Because you can't see it. Because the cloud has covered it. And we get here, and when we get to this moment where the dark cloud has fully covered our life, this becomes the place where it becomes really, really hard to turn and focus on Jesus. Because again, the issue, the problem, whatever we're focusing on, it has lied to us and deceived us into thinking that this is the end all be all, right? I feel forgotten, I feel overwhelmed, I feel hopeless, I feel defeated. It says things like, you'll never get out, you'll never escape, you'll never be good enough, it'll never get better. Lie, 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 lie. Darkness, 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 darkness. That light that you desire, it's gone. But it's never gone. It's always there. Jesus wants that for you. In Colossians 3:15, I love this scripture. And as a matter of fact, this one wasn't a part of my message until yesterday after my small group. I do a talk it over group on Saturday mornings. And within our talk it over group, through the questions that Kendall created for us, she gave us a list of scriptures to speak over our worries. And Colossians 3:15 was in there. And I said, wow, this is powerful. And it's so good. Let me read it to you. It says, let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in our hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers. And so Jesus says, peace I give to you, peace I leave for you. Let peace control your hearts. How do you get out of this? How do you break free from this? Your mind's gonna keep lying to you and keep deceiving you. And so what you gotta do is you gotta take your heart and you gotta turn it back to him. And here's the important thing that I want you to see: as you turn your heart back to him and it comes out of that cloud there, that's when his peace can begin to shed light on this situation that you're going through and that you're experiencing. But you gotta do it. You gotta remember his goodness. You gotta remember his faithfulness. You gotta remember his hope, his salvation, that no matter what you're going through, he's still there, that the light still exists, and he wants to shed light on it. And when you do this again and again and again, you keep turning back to him and you keep going to him, that's when you'll begin to see the light shine on your problem. And so not only is your heart focused here, and let's say the problem is still here, right? I said the feelings, they may still be there. Maybe they've dissipated a little bit, and you've spoken God's word and his promises, and you've remembered, and you have that going on. And maybe your mind is still kind of focused on those things and trying to draw you back into this thing. But the more that you focus this on him, just like the way that the mind tried to control the heart can then begin to bring the mind around. And as we take this through here, speak it to this, we will then move this from being the end all, be all, the center where we're trying to focus, and we put it here instead. And then when we take this thing and we give it up here, to Jesus, to God, and we put it in between us and God, not only is God's peace shining on us, bringing us light, but then there's peace also on the situation. This is why it's so important that our heart and mind stay focused on him. No matter the lies that the enemy is showing us, no matter what we're going through, no matter how forgotten, how overwhelmed, how defeated we feel, we remember that Jesus brings peace. We remember who God is and what God has already done. We got to tell ourselves this, that depression, it's not the absence of God's presence, it's just trying to block you from seeing it and experiencing it. And so you got to go back. I love what Micah chapter 7, verse 8 and 9 says. It says, though I fall, I will rise. Though I sit in the darkness of distress, the Lord is a light for me, and he will bring me out to the light, and I will behold his amazing righteousness and his remarkable deliverance. Amen. And that's what he wants to do. But we gotta point to him. We gotta look to him. We gotta remember the peace that he has for us, even in the midst of that situation that we're going through. So the dark cloud may be present, but it can never distinguish the light or extinguish the light. A dark cloud in your life, it cannot destroy the sun. It's just blocking it. And so we gotta get out from underneath it. How do we get out from underneath it? By remembering God's goodness, by remembering who Jesus is and what Jesus did. And so we take our darkness, we take our dark cloud, and we point it to the source of light. And we speak it to God and say, just like David, God, this is what I'm experiencing. This is what I'm going through. I feel forgotten. I feel overwhelmed. I feel hopeless. I feel defeated. I'm giving it to you. And then we take God's word and we speak God's word over our situation. And then, this is so important too, we speak it to others. The enemy wants you to keep it here. The enemy wants to keep you here. He wants to keep you in this little bubble, in this dark cloud. Don't share. You'll be judged, right? You'll be excluded from things. You don't want to be a burden on people. Oh, you've heard these lies. He doesn't want you to do that, and so we got to speak it out. And as we speak it out, right, as we speak it to God, as God's word speaks over us, as we speak it to others, then the Spirit speaks over our lives and says, remember my peace. That peace that surpasses even your greatest and most dire circumstance. Speak it out. This is what Proverbs 12:25 says. Anxiety leads to depression. We talked about anxiety, we talked about worry. But I love how it follows it up. But a good word encourages. This is what I'm talking about. Like a good word, like we speak it out. God's word is spoken over us. But along with that, we've got to speak it to ourselves, right? Speak this over the situation. Remind ourselves of the fact that Jesus has overcome, and that means so can I. And so as I was thinking about him just speaking this over our lives and the power of speaking God's word over our lives, I was like, okay, so Jesus went through this. I mean, there are a lot of cool things that Jesus did, and there's a lot of cool ways that Jesus declared that he was the Messiah, that he was, you know, divine and human and God and all that. And so I was drawn to Jesus' seven I am statements. You can find those in John. And there's these just very, very profound, clear statements of who he is, of what he can do, of what he can bring, just awesome statements. I said, okay, Jesus has these statements. And he says this about himself, and he believes this about himself. And Jesus wants for us what he experienced through the Spirit. So how can we take the seven I am statements and kind of apply them to our lives and what we're going through? So I've taken his seven I am statements, and I've created and turned them into seven I have statements that we need to speak over our situation. So I'm going to give them to you. The first one. Depending on what we're going through, we need to remind ourselves that I have provision in Jesus. This comes from John 6:35, and you know what Jesus says? He says, I'm the bread of life, right? I'm the bread of life. I am the sustainer of life. All that you need can be found in me. You have provision in Jesus. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what deficit, you have provision in Jesus. Number two, I have light in Jesus, and I will always have access to the light in Jesus. John 8:12, what's he say? I am the light of the world. There's power in that, in remembering that. We got to go. We have darkness. We're experiencing this thing. Take it to the light, and we have the light. We have access to the light through the Holy Spirit. The third one, I have protection in Jesus. In John 10, verses 7 through 9, He shares about how he is the door, that he is the gate, and it is open to us. And we come in and we find pasture and we find protection from all those that seek to harm us, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, come into my gate, come into my fold, and I will give you protection. I have protection in Jesus. The next one, I have guidance in Jesus. He says, I am the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, verses 11 and 14, he's the good shepherd. He's not just a shepherd, he's the good shepherd. He cares dearly for you, specifically you. The shepherd will leave the 99 to go find the one. That's how much your shepherd cares for you. And so in him, our shepherd will guide us, our shepherd will lead us. As we are heading off till danger, he will use his hook and bring us back. He wants to guide us, and we have guidance in Jesus. The next one. I have redemption in Jesus. No matter what I've done, no matter what's been broken, no matter the hurt or the heartache that I've experienced, I have redemption. Jesus says in John 11, 25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He brings things to life. He brings redemption to our life. So that loss and that hurt and that heartache and whatever you're going through, got to remember that we have redemption in Jesus. Sixth one, I have true direction in Jesus. You probably know this one, John 14. I am the way and the truth and the life. We specifically focus on those two things. Jesus says, I'm the way and I am the truth. I am the path to follow and the truth to get there. And it's a complete counter to what the enemy says, right? Because he speaks lies over our lives. He doesn't want us to go in the direction of Jesus. And so Jesus comes in and he says, I have true direction for you. I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. Focus on my truth. Focus on my word. Speak that to the lies that the enemy is trying to get you to get off track of where I want to take you. It's true direction. Lastly, I have connection in Jesus to the Father. In John 15, verses 1 through 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. That means we're connected to him. But not just connected to him, we're connected to the Father. And not just to the Father, but we're connected through the Spirit. It's a connection that he came and he died for and he gave us. It's the connection that the enemy wants to try to cause us to forget that we have. The Holy Spirit within us is greater than anything that this world can throw at us. We have connection to that 24/7. No matter what, we have connection to that. Here's the truth. As we speak this, right? I have provision. I have light. I have protection. I have guidance. I have redemption. I have true direction. I have connection. They're all encouraging. They're all empowering. They're all reminders of who Jesus is. And as we speak that, the final thing we can say after we look at these things, you say, you know what? Because of all I have in Jesus, I also have peace in him. John 14, 27. Peace, I leave you. Peace, I give to you. And it's not as the world gives. It's not false peace. It's not false hope. I have true peace. You got to point your heart to me. You got to bring whatever this is to me, so I can help you through it. I'm reminded of Colossians 3. Let our hearts be controlled by Jesus. Got to give it to him. Continually, constantly. No matter what we're going through, continue to just bring it to him. Cry out to him. Man, be vulnerable. Be real with God. Don't ever be afraid to tell God how you're feeling. Cry out. Tell others. Share it. We got to. In the midst of it, as we're sharing with what we're going through, God will share what he's already done, what he can do, and what he's yet to do. And it's so powerful. I love Psalm 13, right? This reminder, verse 5. Verses 1 through 4, we have these feelings of being forgotten, overwhelmed, defeated, and hopeless. But verse 5 says, I have trusted and relied, and I am confident in your loving kindness and faithfulness. So I will sing, and I will rejoice, and I will be in delight in who you are and what you're doing, because you are my salvation. When the dark cloud comes against you, when your depressive feelings have you focused inward and isolated and harassing you and saying to you, where is your God? Why are you so depressed? Why is there so much turmoil? You take that thing and you point it to God. Say, I remember his goodness and his faithfulness and his salvation. And whatever it is you're going through, you give it to him. And let him shower and rain down peace and bring light into your dark situation. Would you guys bow your heads? God, the weight of our burden, the weight and burden of our depression is so heavy. Oftentimes it seems there's no way out. God, your word and your son and your spirit remind us again and again and again that there's always a way out, because he is the way out. He is the truth that we can speak over the lies. He is the redemption. He is the light. He is the life. God, where we feel defeat, where we feel defeated, you bring victory. Where we feel overwhelmed, God, you bring us to a place where we can overcome. God, as we continue to deal with these feelings, The same feelings that David dealt with and Elijah dealt with and Abraham dealt with and all of them, and Paul and even Jesus dealt with. God, as we deal with them, God, don't let the enemy isolate us or try to keep us focused inward, God, but may we speak them out. We don't want them to grow. We don't want them to loom. We don't want them to get bigger. We want to continue to shine your light on them. And may today, may your word, may the words of David in the Psalms and the words of Jesus in Matthew say, God, I'm trusting you. Your will be done in my life and in this circumstance. God, I know no matter what tomorrow brings or the next day, I can overcome it as long as I stay focused on you. Bring peace. Bring light. God, right now, I fervently ask you to shed light now. Where there is a dark cloud, may your light break through and cut through to the heart, to have it turn to you, to be reminded of you, to have it poke out over the cloud and see the light and see your goodness and be reminded of your redemption and your protection and your guidance and all the things that you have for us. There's always hope in you. There's always light in you. God, may we continue to remember that and live that out every day of our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.